Well, when we first moved to Fredericksburg quite a few years back, we bought a house, and that house had been owned by a woman who was a wonderful gardener. And she had fall asters and plumbagos. I had to learn these terms when I first moved here. I didn't know what they were. I was used to azaleas and weeds. And she had marigolds and all kinds of flowers and shrubs. And I remember every morning looking out the window. It was a pleasure to wash dishes. I looked out that window and could see a windmill, and I could see these beautiful fall asters, and it was just gorgeous. And as that first year went by, I would see a new little flower bloom one by one, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so gorgeous. And I tried really hard to keep everything looking as beautiful as it did. I watered all the time, and that's about all I did. So by the next year then, those flowers that had just had some water from time to time weren't quite as beautiful as they had been the year before. But let's not forget, it was my first year in ministry that was full-time, not trying to do two jobs at once. You see, up until then, I had served in part-time roles in our church in Columbus, and the demands of full-time ministry, of moving, of learning all those new names, and of figuring how to navigate in a new environment took nearly all of my time that first year. And I'm thinking that if you have never moved, you probably don't think that sounds very hard. But if you have moved, you know what I'm talking about. And so it was a pretty rough first year. And so as long as I gave those flowers water, they did pretty well. But little by little, they started to wither again. And they weren't quite as beautiful as they had been. But the English ivy, I discovered English ivy that first year. I didn't know what that was. I do now. And she had planted English ivy in a long bed that pushed right up to the garage that had an apartment on the second floor. That's where our oldest son slept. The house was so small we couldn't all fit. And so he slept in the garage apartment. And that English ivy just went up that garage wall. I swear it had something in it like cement. I couldn't even pull it away from that garage sometimes. And every once in a while, I'd get mad at that English ivy, and I'd go out with some kind of pruning shears, and I'd cut those vines down. I'd throw them off into a pile, and I'd think, good, I've done my job. And I'd come back, and a week later, it'd be there again. And so then I decided, well, the only way I'm going to get this out is if I go down to that main vine that was in the ground. And it was about 3 or 4 inches in diameter, and there were about 5 of them. They were like this big. And I thought, well, I have to have a saw for that, and that's just so much trouble. So I'm just going to keep hacking away at this English ivy. And yet it was just relentless, and pretty soon I sort of gave up. And after a while, that English ivy was so relentless that it grew through the bedroom screen and into the room. It was like having your own potted plant coming in from the outside. I hated that stuff. And it seemed like the more I cut those branches back, the more they grew and flourished. No freeze, no neglect, no cutting and hacking, no lack of water could kill that English ivy. And in the end, it won. As long as the branches of that English ivy were attached to the main vine in the ground, it grew and grew and grew, regardless of my feeble and half-hearted attempts to stop it. Now today we hear one of Jesus's I am sayings again. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, every branch that does bear fruit is pruned so that it will be even more fruitful. Now I should have read that verse about pruning and being more fruitful once you're start bearing fruit and you're pruned. But I didn't. I did such a good job of pruning when I should have been attacking the vine in the ground. and I have gotten better at cutting away unfruitful and even dead parts of my plants since then. Rhett, would you put the first slide up, the one that has the one before that? The one that has the sermon, that's it. Look at those pruning shears over there and that other, those that all those gardening tools. Can you imagine? That looks a little painful if you were a vine about to get pruned. Now look at the next picture. That is a picture of a hydrangea. It didn't look like that when I first got it. That's how they look. That's how they look when they're not taken good care of, or when they're overwatered or underwatered, or when they freeze back in the winter. Next slide. That's what they look like after you prune them and water them and give them the right amount of sun. They'll come back, all those little white specks, those are going to be beautiful flowers. It won't be but a few weeks before those babies start blooming. Now, I'm not a great gardener. Please hear that. Thank you, Rhett. I don't claim to be a master gardener, but I do truly admire those who are. I love looking at beautiful flowers and beautiful gardens. I love the order of gardens. I love the beauty of it. I love the practicality of vegetable gardening and the knowledge that someone took great care to prune and nurture those plants. Well, that would be the gardener, that someone. And Jesus goes on to say in this passage that we are to remain in him as he remains in us. Now, we don't always see that part, so hear this. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me and I in you. And then you will bear much fruit. But then he says, and this is the clincher right here, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I got to say, when I was chopping those ivy branches down, I would get this perverse pleasure in throwing them over in another part of the yard and then piling them up and walking by there every day as they just withered and withered and got worse and worse and finally died over the next few days. Because you see, apart from the main vine, they were ineffective as plants. In fact, if one of those branches had suddenly decided, I'm going to bear fruit anyway, it couldn't have done it. It couldn't do it because it was cut off from the main vine. That's what Jesus is telling us. We can't produce fruit unless we are tied to him. And here's the other side of that. He can't produce anything in us unless we invite him to be into a relationship, to be tied to us. It's a symbiotic relationship. Does everybody know what that is? A symbiotic relationship means that two organisms, two living things, form a relationship, and each of them relies on the other one in some way. Now, there are three kinds of symbiotic relationships. I'm only going to mention the one called mutualism. Here's the definition of mutualism. It's a type of symbiosis where both species benefit from the interaction. So Jesus is saying that we need him, but he also needs us. Apart from him, we can do nothing, but conversely, he can do nothing in us unless we stay tied to him and invite him to be part of who we are. Claiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior over our lives means that we are claiming a relationship. It's not one-sided. Jesus helps us, but we have to do our part as well. Now, that goes all the way back to Genesis. Don't think that they just made this up in the New Testament. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. When God was talking to Abraham, he said, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed by you. And here it is. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. You see, God laid the plan out for Abraham. I'll do this, and you do this. And Abraham went. Abraham didn't say, that sounds awesome, Lord. Let me know when you finish with that so I can reap the benefits. We are tethered to Jesus if we expect to produce fruit. It's a relationship where both parties are tethered to one another, moving at the same time, resting at the same time, focusing on the same goal, and working together as they do it. You see, God has way more power than we can imagine, and he uses it on our behalf. And when we're attached to the main vine, we are entitled to that power, and nothing can break that relationship. Here's the but we're self-centered. And sometimes we can get to thinking that being attached to that big main vine is somehow limiting. We get the idea that other vines out there somewhere look better. And we abandon that perfect vine, hoping to find an easier way, maybe a way that doesn't require pruning, because remember, it hurts. Remember those tools? Those tools can be sharp. Jesus said that God, the gardener, prunes us to help us grow and to help us remain in the vine. Verse 6 says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. And you know how fast a branch burns after it withers? I don't have to remind you of that, do I? You know what that looks like? A withered up branch burns really, really fast. It really was a pleasure for me to watch those English ivy branches wither and die so that I could burn them or throw them away and get them out of my life. Remaining in Jesus, remaining attached to the true vine, isn't easy at all. And it seems to be getting even harder these days. Not only is the gardener pruning us, but there are people like me who are trying to cut us away so that we will wither and die as we leave the main vine. But no one can do that to us if we stay in relationship with Jesus. I couldn't do it to those branches that invaded our garage apartment as hard as I tried. For anyone to make us break our relationship with Jesus, we either have to be willing participants or we have to initiate the break ourselves. We have to have the main vine cut and pulled up by its very roots, not leaving even one piece of the main vine behind. Thanks be to God, the main vine is much stronger than we, the branches, are. So here's the question. Is your relationship with Jesus secure enough to withstand your being pruned, or are you disengaged to such an extent that when you are pruned, you will wither and die and be burned by an amateur gardener? God is our gardener. He plants us in gardens that grow and flourish. He takes care of us summer and winter, spring and fall. He plants us in such a way that we can climb a wall, taking hold with something that seems like cement, and not giving up when we're cut, but instead becoming even stronger. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Nothing. Now, John Wesley said, do nothing on which you cannot pray for a blessing. Every action of a Christian that is good is sanctified by the word and prayer. it becomes not a Christian to do anything so trivial that he cannot pray over it. The word and prayer, those are the two ways that we can remain in Jesus and Jesus can remain in us. He reveals himself to us through the word and he hears our prayers. Now, verse 7 has caused a lot of trouble with some people. I want you to hear it. It's very troublesome, and to be honest, I wanted to just sort of leave it out, but that would not be very faithful of me to leave out the hard parts. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And that doesn't mean that we can give Jesus a wish list expecting it to be fulfilled by Amazon. But it does mean that Jesus hears us and Jesus comes into our situation to ease the stress of anything that we're going through. Things may not end the way that we wish, but Jesus remains when we remain in him. And the ending will be holy, even if it isn't the way we designed. But remember, we're the branches, not the gardener, not the one who designs the garden plan. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Let that just sink in a minute. Apart from him, we can do nothing. May we all seek Jesus through the word and through prayer as we navigate the sometimes impossible events of our lives. Let us not wither and die due to neglect. Instead, let us accept and even welcome the pruning which God gives to us so that we can flourish as flowers of Jesus, bringing peace and health to ourselves and to the others in our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let the people of God say, Amen.